Right, we're all ready to go. Now, we have a double act. On my right, Jeanette Ubridge, and on her right, Anne Kirby. Jeanette is a graduate of this university's History of Art department. Many of us are speaking here, the graduates of Warwick. Their subject is the book that they have written. We have a heading here, the Tatchbrook Times. Their book is Bishop's Tatchbrook, Past and Present. They have a copy of it.
Jeanette and I are members of the Bishop's Tatchbrook History Group, and we've had a couple of exciting projects. The book which Jeanette edited and was published in 2008, and that's been followed up by a DVD. And we thought to start with, we'd just play you the beginning of the VD because we're quite excited about it. We're just going to play you two, 3 minutes.
This is a film about a village called Bishop's Tatchbrook. It's a little village with a long history. In this documentary, we will explore the ancient history of our village. We will see how it evolved and changed over hundreds of years with the invasion of the Normans, its role in myths and legends from the Middle Ages, how the church is evidence of times gone by, the memories of the recent past and present, and finally looking to the future for our village. The village and people of Bishop's Tatchbrook invite you to come on a journey that spans millennia and take some leaps through our varied and rich history. Once upon a time, there was a settlement not far from the centre of Tatchbrook that could be a possible site for the origins of the village we live in. It's been under debate for many years, but many people believe that it is. The earliest maps made of the site show evidence of what could be ramparts dug for defence and can be seen in many examples of hill forts from the Iron Age period. A Dr. Hill from Warwick University in 2000 stated that it is definitely a small fort with evidence of roundhouses on the site. Although this is now known as Oakley Wood and there is abundant wildlife now, 2,500 years ago this may well have been a small settlement and Tatchbrook's origin.
To get a clearer picture of what it was like in those early times, I'm here with archaeologist David Sir. David, when was the
to see the rest, you'll have to buy the video.
Shouldn't start then.
I'll hand you over to Jeanette now, who edited the book, and she'll tell you how it came about.
Right, well, we need to ask some questions. Why did we decide to do the history of Bishop's Tatchbrook? How did we organise the project? In what ways was the community involved? What were the benefits and challenges, and what striking and unexpected things did we find? The group started in the year 2000 with the help of a grant given by the government to Warwickshire College to employ a tutor to go out into the villages and form groups, and we were one of the chosen ones. After the tutor departed, it was decided we needed a serious project, and we decided to delve into the history of the village and eventually produce a book. No complete history to date had been written about BT, I'll call it. It's an old village with the inevitable add-ons of modern times, but there are still families living there whose roots go way back. We needed the cooperation of villagers to share their family stories and remembrances, particularly the older inhabitants, and the loan of their precious photographs and old letters. We needed people who would share their personal skills, energy and time. We formed a small committee to coordinate things. We began the project in 2004, and it took us 4 years to complete. At first, there was little information forthcoming. It was a challenge to get villagers involved, and I think people were rather suspicious. Eventually the trickle became more of a stream and we were at last on our way. We needed to look at the origin and progress of the village, and you've heard about the Ordnance Survey site. But one of our members was very, very keen. She believed it was an Iron Age settlement, and she came to a dig here at Warwick, which was led by Dr. Hill, who cited Oakley Wood as an example of a fortified Iron Age. During that dig, they had found, I think it was 15 Iron Age remains. So although there's no proof, it is possible that there's a link between this encampment and the village of Bishop Stacksbrook. And as times became more peaceful, the clan moved down and set up a new, larger farming settlement by the brook. Before the Norman conquest, the manor of Tatchbrook had been given to the Cathedral of St. Chad Lichfield, and St. Chad himself did much travelling within the diocese and so needed accommodation. Although there is a thatched house in the village named Bishop's House, there's no evidence that it was ever so. However, whilst researching something else at the Warwickshire County Records Office, I found that a bishop's house had actually existed in BT, and when it eventually became too expensive to repair, Pope Nicholas V in 1450 gave permission for it to be demolished. This was an unexpected find. Following the sequestration of church land after the reformation of the church in 1529, BT was sold into secular hands, and the Earl of Warwick, along with other wealthy gentlemen, took the opportunity to extend their estates. Many hours were spent researching in the Warwickshire Records Office and reading old newspapers in Leamington Library, which recorded family happenings, not always good news. And the history librarian in Warwick was very cooperative. She became very interested in the project, and she sought out old news reports she thought that would be of interest to us. Now, BT has been a self-contained community, a mix of rich and poor. Most of the latter were land workers, farmers, labourers, skilled craftsmen such as blacksmiths, wheelwrights, builders and carpenters who provided whatever the community needed. Lovely stories about families in the cottages and in the big houses have been unearthed. One, the Commander family, thought to have arrived not long after William the Conqueror, farmed and acquired land, and still has descendants connected with Bishop Stacksbrook. And the earliest deeds written in Latin show their existence in the parish in an unbroken line since 1369. We were fortunate that a series of articles written for the church magazine by Walter Commander, entitled Tatchbrook When I Was a Boy, giving a detailed account of village life from 1900 to 1914, had been preserved. It's exciting when the unexpected comes to light, especially through family letters. The connection of the Savage family in BT with Walter Savage, landowner of Warwick, the poet and writer. The Kingsley family, the wife and daughter Rose of the Reverend Charles Kingsley, author of several novels, which you will know the most famous is The Water Babies, came to live in one of the big houses. Rose campaigned for the education for girls and founded Kingsley School in Leamington, one of the first all-girls schools in the country. In early times, some of the occupants of the big houses were philanthropists, anxious to help the poor and make life better for them in more ways than one. And the church would be a point of contact. But times change, and now there are lots of new people who've come to live in the village, some who are careerists and, of course, have little time at the moment, perhaps until they retire, to do much to help us. Many people in the community were involved in producing our book. Some followed their own interests, researching the history of the school and the church. Some spent many hours and energy talking to villagers about their family histories and encouraging them to record them for us, and persuading village groups to let us have their stories and reports of village events. The present day headmaster has reported on recent changes in the school, and children have taken part, airing their opinions of the school. how times have changed. An artist who lives in the village contributed lovely illustrations to the book, adding visual variety. And we have a member, competent on the computer, who skillfully arranged and inserted our photographs. We're indebted to those who loaned such precious old photographs of family and village, and to our two regular proofreaders. The whole collection took a lot of time in typing, editing, and putting together in an orderly presentation. But we did have a lot of cooperation. Often insertions made in the book were for the meaning of ancient words which some people would not have come across before. And there's nothing more off-putting than the assumption that we all know as much as each other. And so there were little explanations of words inserted here and there. And boxes were inserted which gave explanations. For example, who were the men reported in the school logbook to have noisily marched by disrupting lessons and why? It's interesting to know that they were supporters of Joseph Archer Barford, champion of the farm labourers for better wages, and the vote for rural householders. So far we've had 3 reprints and copies have gone all over the world. It was important that the book was an easy read and contained interest for everyone. We think it has turned out to be so. It's more of a story than a history book in a way. Families, there's much interest to be found about buildings and families, people, happenings and wartime events that are in the book. We've brought a few books and DVDs to sell, and the book is also available in Leamington and Warwick libraries. Thank you.
Jeanette didn't mention that this wonderful volume only costs £7. We've got a few copies down in the...
Can you say, the question that springs forward at once is, how did you find your publisher and how did you sort of handle the mechanics
Jeanette and I investigated methods of printing, and the traditional printing gave us a quote. And then Jeanette said, oh, well, let's try digital printing. And we had a very reasonable quotation for that. But we did have to prepare it all so that, what we prepared was what we were going to get, whizzing.
So you were giving camera-ready copy, as you might say. And that was a local printer, was it?
It was. I can let anyone know who needs to know. But we also, if the digital printer was going to scan and enhance our photographs, we would have had to have paid for that. So we in fact did it within the history group with contacts we had. We did pay extra for that, but it was still way below the price. And the advantage of having the digital printing was if we just wanted another 50 copies, we could get them done. It's all on a memory stick, and I go along to the printer. And so it's been an exciting project at grassroots level. We're very pleased with the success. But since then, we've produced a DVD. And what happened was, I had a phone call one day from Greg Cole. Now, Greg is a neighbour who was brought up in the village. He trained in theatre production and filmmaking, and then worked in London for a while. And when he phoned me, he said, would the History Group like us to make a film? I've got a proposal. Would you like to work with Heartbreak Productions, which is a theatre company in Leamington Spa? And we know of a source of funding, and if you'd like to work with us, we will apply for a grant, and it came from the District Council, and they have a particular fund called Arts on Our Doorstep. Particularly to encourage arts in the rural areas. So we qualified for that. Greg was going to write the script in consultation with the History Group, and so we made our archive of photographs and things available to him. and also suggested contacts in the village. Greg had got a cameraman lined up called Lee Rogers, and they would liaise and arrange filming days. The film would be reproduced on the DVD. The copyright would belong to the history group, and they would provide us, out of the funding, 200 copies of the DVD, and we could sell them as we wished, and also order extra copies and pay for them as we wanted. The history group, in return, was responsible for rallying support in the village for promoting the project, and we volunteered to organise and fund a grand launch in the village. The work involved, the schedule, Greg's prime aim was to produce something at grassroots level which would appeal to the children. He was desperate to get children a sense of the village history and make them proud of living there. So he went to the school, got great support, involved the children in a film sequence. You saw them dressed up in the beginning of the film there. And that was very successful. He attended all the village events like the church fete, the horticultural show, any events on the village green. He invited a folk dance team to come and put on a performance in front of the Leopard Inn, which is very spectacular. He had a composer write the music for us. He interviewed a couple of experts on various historical periods to give it some depth. He also utilised some documentary filming. For instance, shots about the war. You've got the bombers coming over and the fire in Coventry. It all made it very spectacular and appealing for the children, particularly. And then he included interviews with local residents, and he wanted to get as many people on the film as possible, so he organised a tour with the cameraman round the village. We advertised where they were going to be and just urged people to turn up. And people were a bit reluctant, so I added on the flyer that I'd prepared, "Bring your pets." And it worked because we had cats, dogs, rabbits, a hamster and a horse. And of course their owners had to come as well. The history group provided contact names. We also initiated a bluebell competition. As you saw, the pictures from Oakley Wood featured them at bluebell time, and they're very pretty. So we invited artists in the village to submit watercolours of their painting. Well, any medium except digital, we stipulated. And we had about a dozen entries, and they were all very attractive. In fact, the winning picture is featured at the very end of the DVD. We had reports in our monthly magazine, and we're very lucky in the village because everyone in the parish gets a free copy of our monthly magazine, which gives news. And so it was a wonderful opportunity to promote and keep people up to date with what we were doing. We had flyers going to every house with the timetable of the group filming, and a flyer and posters around the village, so everyone was informed. We organised a launch for early December because our commercial intuition was that we'd sell a lot of copies for Christmas time. And it was, and we also did a lot of analyses for the funding bodies, which is an awful bore, as you know. What were our worries? Well, my particular worry started quite early on because Heartbreak prepared the application for the funding, but they asked me to sign it personally with a guarantee that if it didn't go ahead, I'd give them the money. Then, as the time went on, Greg's reports to us got fewer and fewer, and I began to feel a bit anxious when we were announced the launch and told everyone it was going to be this grand film, and none of us had seen it. And I suddenly thought, we've been very trusting here. We've had no examples of Greg's work. Are they just a bunch of amateurs? Is it going to be a horrendous, jerky film, as we sometimes get these days, with incoherent commentary? But we needn't have worried. He gave us a preview a few days before the launch, and we were just delighted. Problems. It was awfully difficult, as Jeanette said, to get an enthusiastic response from people. People were very suspicious. In fact, one elderly couple met Greg at one of the fetes and said, oh, we're about the oldest people in the village. You really ought to interview us. Yes, yes. So Greg made an appointment to go and see them, and he and the cameraman turned up. And Mrs. X looked at him and said, you're not coming in our house with that thing. So that was the end of that interview. The other sadness I feel was that the funding, which was £5,000, wasn't nearly enough for a half-hour film. I know that Greg put in, I think he worked for 6 months on it. As he said, he wasn't physically working all that time, but it was on his mind all the time. The launch, the success, was a real fun event. We had it in the school hall, and we had displays, free refreshments. The Bishop's Textbook Mummer's Play was performed, and then we showed the film, and people were really delighted. We did an analysis of comments afterwards, as Beat is about to do with us, and people were saying it was the best event they'd ever been to in the village. And we've sold nearly 500 DVDs. Those two are available, price £7. So, in conclusion, I think it brought the community together. It prompted older people to chat about their memories of old times. It's promoted the history group because we've got several new members. And we have regular monthly meetings with good speakers and a couple of outings every year, as well as an excuse for a party. Hopefully we made history alive for the children in the village and made them appreciate their heritage. So that's how we've done it in Bishop's Statute Book. Thank you.